And I said officer,
Hey.
So I'm still John Galloway.
Yes.
You are still Christopher Harrison.
Yes.
After the marathon, two difficult sessions in a row. You are now on break.
Cool. All right, so I'll see you guys later.
So I'm going to be talking about Bootstrap.
And I got to say, this is a big module.
This is really cool.
Yeah, this is one of the most important things.
And this is really neat. It's great for MVC, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're including this in an introduction to MVC. But this applies to ASP.NET web forms as well.
Yep.
And Bootstrap is a just web-wide framework. People are using it with PHP and Rails and Node and you name it. So it's a great thing to learn more about.
Yep.
I will be talking about as much as I can in 50 minutes, actually 49 now. But
07, 06, dun, 05. Dun, dun.
But I want to point out James Chambers, who has been answering questions for us on the back end. If we can go to my site here, or my desktop, he has been doing this 30 days of Bootstrap, and it is insanely good. It's really, really good. And so he's been going through in depth and just 30 days and a post each day. So I'm going to zoom in on this. This is the URL. So if you just go to jameschambers.com, it's what he's blogging about now, and you can go through the entire list. And he's got a he has got a tag for all of these. So if you go to 30 days MVC Bootstrap, just in great depth.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I'm just going to stop right here because he's done
all
the work for me.
All right. So I want to thank you guys. And all right, maybe not.
And James is also answering questions on the chat. So please ask your questions. Okay. So what is Bootstrap? Bootstrap is a very popular front end. So we've been talking about back end coding.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing all this stuff to, controllers do stuff, they create models, we've talked about views, and we've done some simple HTML rendering.
Yep.
How do we make that HTML look good?
Right.
How do we make it appealing? How do we also make it so that it works well on big size desktops like we're using here and tiny mobile phones without writing a bunch of extra code or any extra code?
Exactly.
So Bootstrap is about making your views look good.
Right.
Everywhere.
And so a couple of real quick things, if I can just jump in.
Sure.
Just because, I've got to talk. Number one is a question just came up in the chat window, which I think is very important, is difference between Bootstrap and jQuery.
Mm-hmm.
And jQuery, and I'm going to oversimplify here. So I'm just going to oversimplify. jQuery's main goal is to make it easier to do things that are easy in other environments. So things like going in and just finding a control and updating its text, that's very easy for me to do in, say, Windows Forms. With straight JavaScript, that's a little bit of a challenge, especially as you go from browser to browser to browser. So jQuery makes a lot of that much easier. And then, of course, going beyond that, it makes it very easy to deal with things like CSS, swap out styles, and so forth. Bootstrap is kind of a full library.
It's a whole framework,
exactly.
Right?
That it actually it uses jQuery, but it has all the CSS, and it does add on additional cool little JavaScript functionality as well.
Yeah. But primarily JavaScript. I think of jQuery as a JavaScript library,
mm-hmm.
and there are plugins,
yep.
and there are things where you can kind of chunk in little bits of things. You can use a jQuery UI date picker, and you can use these different things. But Bootstrap really is this whole framework. It's got CSS, it's got classes, and it's really designed to.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you're building a Bootstrap view.
Yeah, that, to a certain extent, like jQuery is a fantastic set of building blocks. Bootstrap is, hey, here's the whole solution.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would mention about Bootstrap is that it's now become like the de facto standard. That if you mm-hmm. fire up your mobile device and you head on over to almost any website here, and you notice that exact same structure where the banner's up at the very top, and over on the left or the right, there's a little button there with like 3-4 lines, and if you tap on that, you then get a menu that drops down. Chances are the reason that that's there is Bootstrap, that it really has become the de facto standard, because it does make creating responsive sites that much easier.
Yep. And so if you're not, you don't have to use Bootstrap, it's included as our main template. I recommend if you're not going
to
use Bootstrap, you better do something better than Bootstrap provides.
Good luck.
there are some, I will say Bootstrap does some things that are slightly like, not completely correct HTML semantics. There's a few things where I kind of cringe when I put it in. However, it really does help create great experiences, and that's what it's about, right?
Yep, exactly.
So some of the reasons to use it. CSS by itself is hard. I actually love CSS, and I think I'm really quirky that way. But in general, even, you know, I struggle with CSS at times. This past weekend, I was fighting with Chrome. When you set a border image, it automatically overrides the border width attribute. Crazy stuff
exactly.
like that, right?
Yeah.
And getting cross-browser CSS, you know, doing it the right way, building out an entire, you know, site where everything looks uniform and looks good, that's not easy. Cross-browser, again, something that's tested, works back to IE6, you know, that's you know, just...
back to IE6.
Back to ancient days.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I think they may have dropped IE... I think it may be IE7 now. It's Bootstrap 3. But whatever. You know, cross-browser is the important thing, right?
Yep.
Basic tasks. So things like, I want to put a button on my page and I don't want to look horrible. I want to, you know, put an HTML table on my screen. Mm-hmm. And I would like things like alternating rows and column headers, and when I mouse over a row, it highlights.
Yep.
That should be easy, and it's not. And,
no.
You know, people have asked in the chat, and people generally ask me, okay, if I'm moving from WebForms to MVC, where is my grid control? Where's my this? Where's my that? And how do I make, you know, and a lot of the time, the answer to that is, you know, MVC is returning that HTML, and Bootstrap is making it look good.
Right.
And so that's kind of the answer there. And Bootstrap 3 definitely makes a lot of things easier. Some of the features we're going to be looking at in the next 43-ish minutes is theme support, theme support being able to reskin your entire site very easily. Responsive. So the idea with responsive is, you know, we want to be able to at narrow or wide screen sizes, we want to be able to make the same site look good without looking at the user agent, without trying to guess if the user is on a mobile or desktop or, you know, whatever screen size or device type. We want to actually just let CSS handle that. There is there's also support for a grid. These two kind of fit together, the responsive stuff and the grid. But the grid allows you to position things and to say, at a wide screen size, I would like these three things to take three separate columns. When I'm on a narrow screen size, stack them on top of each other, things like that. There are a lot of different components. I'm going to show you a few of my favorites. And then finally, we'll talk about Visual Studio support. Bootstrap is built by using classes. So you set CSS, you set HTML attributes to pull in these CSS classes. And you need to know what they all are. Now, you could go out to getbootstrap.com and you could look at the documentation, which is actually really good, but it's a lot of back and forth. And fortunately, Visual Studio and VS Web Essentials will do a lot of great things for you to help you write that code without having to check the docs all the time. So first of all, theme support. And you know, the real quick idea is, file new project gives you this look. That's fine. But what if I want to change that look so that, you know, my site doesn't look the same as everyone else's? And so dropping in a new CSS theme gives me a completely different look to the site. Now, you don't, there's tons of different themes. You can write your own. The idea here is that it's very, very easy to just drop one in here. This is a very different look for this site. And all I did is, you know, change the CSS. So let's take a look at that. I am going to go into our site that we've been using, and I will notice, first of all, if I go into my layout, I've got a bundle for CSS, and I'm just quickly pointing out to where stuff is. We've got a bundle. Bundle is where we kind of package up our CSS and JavaScript includes, and we have this bootstrap.css.
And so that's sending down the CSS files for Bootstrap.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if I run this, it's pulling in that CSS that's included in my application, and here's where that is. There's bootstrap.css and bootstrap.min.css, and that bundling system automatically will include the minimized version when you browse to it in to speed that up, right?
Right. Yep.
So let's go to a site like bootswatch.com. So Bootswatch is a site that has some free themes. And there are a lot of there are other sites that have these. There's also a lot of paid themes. So if you want to go to a site and, you know, buy a kind of nicer theme, there's plenty. If you go to somewhere like Wrap Bootstrap, Wrap Bootstrap has all kinds of different sites. $20, $15, not that much. And you can have all kinds of really nice quality designs for your site, right?
Yep.
So let's go back on Bootswatch, and we'll just pick one. And I am randomly going to, today I'm feeling like it's a flatly kind of day.
See, I was thinking more kind of Lumen.
Lumen, okay, Lumen's good. So I'm going to click on download. I'm going to right click on this. This is my min.css.
Okay.
And copy shortcut.
Yep.
Then I'm going to go into my application, and I'm going to say, I did that backwards. Let's go here. I'm going to copy the link. Let me see. Copy full path. I always forget that. Okay. So I've gone in. I've copied my full path.
Yep.
I'm going to go in here, right click, save as, and I'm just going to override it. Okay. This is the absolute super quick way to do it. And normally, you know, you might actually use a site.css that overwrites things.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, but the idea, if you're actually overwriting the whole theme, a lot of time I'll pull in the full Bootstrap min CSS, and then I'll customize, you know, at a more minute level, right?
Right.
Okay. So now I've gone in here. I'm reloading it because I've got a new one. And now when I run this, I should see the exact site we've been working on all day, except we've got a different theme, which is going to be this Lumen theme. There it is. So Lumen, okay. I kind of like it, but it's a little bit too light for me today. And so I'm going to switch over here, and I'm going to try something. That's okay.
You know, every time I suggest something, you just never go with it.
I want to make it a little more obvious.
So we're going to go superhero. Okay.
Superhero. Right. Superhero is kind of nice, right? Copy. I'm going to do right click. Save target as, boom. Okay, and so now it's saved that, and now let's go over here and refresh, and I completely messed it up somehow. Right click, superhero, save target as, no. I had to make it complicated, didn't I? Copy full path. Boom. Yes. There it is. So, and this is neat, actually. I didn't hit F5 here. This is, again, because we have got a browser link set up. Browser link is automatically syncing those changes. So as I change my CSS, it automatically changed in the browser. So what I wanted to point out here is not only did the colors change, but we also have some other things, like, for instance, the buttons here are square.
Right.
So it's really kind of nice.
Orange.
I get to play just a second here. I want to point out that I got to do this on my site, my new weblog. We just recently moved to Orchard, and Orchard supports Bootstrap.
Yep.
So there it is. Okay. So I am using a, you know, slightly modified theme, and I just dropped in. Here, this is using, I think this is a combination of a few. I dropped in the United, and then I colored it purple. So there we go. That's themes. Pretty fun.
Yep.
I had a lot of fun, like I was saying. There's actually some CDNs out there that will host these for you, content delivery networks. And so on my blog, I can go in and just say, I'll try this one. Without even uploading anything.
And so. By the way, since you mentioned CDNs real quickly, mm-hmm. content delivery networks, essentially what this is somebody else hosting stuff for you to serve on down. And there's a lot of different reasons to potentially do that. I think by far the simplest is we were talking about performance earlier. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to performance, I generally find if you follow two basic rules, you're going to be fine. Number one, stay off the database. And number two, avoid round trips. So if somebody else can serve up those files for you, that's going to help improve the performance of your application. On top of that, the files can then be more likely to be cached on the client. They can be closer to the client. So there are a lot of other reasons as well. But the most basic is, hey, this is less stuff we have to serve. Mm-hmm. It's going to go faster.
That's a good thing. All right, so I'm going to now be talking about, let me run this, and I'll flop over to my slides while that's spinning up. Okay, we're gonna be talking now about responsive layout. So again, responsive layout is the idea of something that works good at different screen sizes. So the idea is we wanna write code that works, you know, across any kind of device, mobile, tablet, large screen, very large screen, whatever, we don't care. so here's, you know, the obvious example. We take our site, if you take, you know, the site that we're building and you run it on a phone emulator or on a phone, it's gonna look good.
Right.
And these, you know, these obvious differences, like you pointed out here, we've got, you know, we've got register, we've got different things in the menu. If we look over on the other side, you know, we've got, like you said, people are calling this the hamburger menu. Not sure it looks like a hamburger, but there it is. I totally didn't, I'm not joking. People actually do call that the hamburger menu. So I'm gonna show I'll show a few quick demos. So first of all, we've got this, right? And I take it and I shrink it down, automatic, okay? So that just happened. It just worked for us. So again, it's not based on I think you're a mobile device or not. It's your screen width is so-and-so width, so there you go. And if we look over in the CSS, that's actually defined in here. There's a breakpoint. If I look for at mobile, or excuse me, media. So we're using
media queries.
Media queries. And media queries are saying the following CSS applies for the following conditions. So this applies for everything with a minimum width of 768 pixels. If it's smaller than that, then ignore this code, right? So there's all these media queries in the CSS, and it all just works for us, okay? There we go. So that is one demo. Another demo I wanted to show you is the ASP.NET website. And we actually have done a lot of work with this over the past few years. This isn't actually using Bootstrap, but it is using media queries and responsive design. What we found is that the site used to you know, look fine at a wide screen, but it did not look fine at a smaller width. And we found that by changing things so that the menus worked well, you know, so that people, you can get around the site, you can actually, you know, we changed our menus, so when you're within a page or within something, you can actually get in and start, you know, it's readable. We actually have support also for videos, so we're using HTML5 video. We found that that's made a big difference in use. People are actually able to use it quite a bit more, so that's good. I also want to show on my site, here's an interesting example. So I recently posted this about this MVA event. And at full screen, I wanted to show
those are a couple of good-looking guys.
They sure are. I have no arguments here. So I wanted to show this at widescreen. But on a narrow screen, what do? Well, I actually just want to hide it, right?
Yeah.
So I took advantage of some responsive design. There's some utilities in the responsive design where I can say this content is hidden at a narrow... excuse me.
Bless you.
At a narrow device size. So let's look at that real quick. If I go in here and I'm going to say inspect element, and we'll scroll on down, and I say this was article... There it is. And it's a little small to see, but there I had class equals hidden XS. So what that means is at extra small screen width, the content is hidden. That's all I had to do. So that's the idea of, you know, Bootstrap making it really easy for you to make things that work well at larger and small sizes.
That's very cool.
Cool. All right. On with the lightning tour of Bootstrap. Next is grid system. So we kind of hinted at this at the previous one there, where I showed that small, extra small size.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of people have been asking about grids and displays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So I have kind of a love-hate thing with grids going on. I actually, like I said, I'm a huge fan of CSS, and I love floating things around, and a lot of grids have kind of bugged me in the past because they make you kind of constrain things and say, this goes in this column, and this goes in this column, and I kind of feel like I might as well be writing HTML tables at that point. But I do like the responsive grid system in Bootstrap 3. It does take a little bit of work to get used to, but the idea is you're defining how much width things take up at a different device width. So what that means is I've got four different screen sizes. I've got extra large. Let me see, how do I do this thing? I've got extra large here, so if I do, that's kind of good, right? If I say for 1,200 pixels or greater, then I'm in a large device width. So all these, anything with this class will apply.
Okay.
If I've got a medium device width, which is anything greater than or equal to 992, so that's going to include large device width, then I've got medium, call.med. And then here, small and extra small. So these are called breakpoints here. I've got 768 pixels, 992, and 1,200. These are driven by some common device sizes. So extra small, you're on a small phone. You're on a phone, and it's not, you know, a super modern smartphone that has, you know, great screen resolution. Otherwise, you've got tablet for greater than 768 pixel width. And then medium device, you know, that might be a tablet, an iPad, something like that, 992 pixel. And then large device width, 1,200 pixel, right? So what that works out to is something like this. So I might say I want to have, these are, again, all at, say, medium device width size.
Okay.
So I could say if I want to have, I've got 12 columns.
Okay.
This whole system is based on 12 columns. So I can add things up to total 12, right? So if I want to have just two, I can say this takes up six columns and this takes up six columns.
Right.
Right? Or I can break it up and say four, four, and four. That makes 12.
Yep.
Or eight and four, or one, 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 one. Or I could do six, four, and two.
Yep.
Right? You know, six, four, one, and one.
Right. One little thing, if I can just jump in for 2 seconds here, because James pointed this out in the chat window, and it's something that's worth pointing out to a lot of people, and I get this quite frequently, is, you know, people still use tables quite frequently for laying out their applications and, or for laying out their pages. And the biggest reason that people still do that is because it was, and I'm not going to use present tense anymore, it was a much easier way to do things. Mm-hmm. That trying to fight with CSS back quite a while ago was really a pain with all the different browser versions and so forth and so on. But now with things like Bootstrap, now with the different media elements, it's become a lot easier to lay things out, quite frankly, properly by utilizing CSS. Mm-hmm. And so by using CSS for that, and James points this out, is that it makes it much more accessible to things like screen readers, to search engines, etc. So you really do want to get away from using tables to do your layout. Use CSS. That's what it's there for.
And this gives you all the advantages of a table. It's easy to lay out.
Yep.
It's all, you know where things are going. But on the other hand, it's like you're saying, it's adaptive. It's going to work with change. So when you're putting things in table cells, they're rigid. That's where they go. They don't move around. And what's nice with a system like this is you can say, this is how I want to lay things out in medium device width. But now when I am on a small device, change that to display differently. So I think we've got a demo here. Let's go back to our code. And I'm going to look at our index. So here's an example where we've got this get started. And we've said this is four, you know, call medium four, right? So, and then underneath that, so this, what these three things apply to. We've got four, four, and four.
So we're getting 12 columns total. So if I remember my math, four plus four plus four is 12.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here, let's look at where those are. Four, four, and four. This get started, more libraries, right, and web hosting. So let's play with that. Let's try, instead, let's make this one six.
Okay.
Six, and we'll make the next one four. And then we'll make this one, should we go with two?
Two, okay, right. Yep, six plus four plus two is 12.
Let's say we didn't know what the options were, right? That's kind of nice.
And I'm actually kind of love the IntelliSense.
Right, okay, so now I've got 6, 4, 2, right? So if I save that and hop over here and refresh, right? So now I've made that first one six columns, that's half the screen width.
Yep.
And then I've got four, and then I've got two, right?
Yep.
So all of those things only apply for medium or above size width. So I haven't broken things for when I go below that medium width, now it stacks them.
Mm-hmm.
right? So now let's say I wanted to do something and say, well, for a smaller width, let's say that this one instead of 6, so I'll say call SM for small, and I'll say now this takes 2 columns, right? And then this one will say, right,
I can go in. Okay, so what you're doing here is you're saying, all right, well, if it's a small device, I want it to take up this much space. If it's a medium-sized device, I want it to take up this much space. And if it's a big device, eventually, then right. I want it to take up this much space. So,
exactly.
So you're identifying how you want it to look on each size device.
Right, right.
Excellent. Okay.
So this allows me to go in, and then I can define, you know, I did 2, 2, and I'll do this 8, call. And I have no idea if this is going to work well, right? But that's part of the thing. This isn't taking a lot of work to do.
So if it doesn't. And with the browser link, you know, multiple browsers, you could very easily go in and
right.
tweak that around.
So there, that's not an award-winning web design. And notice here, it's easy to play with, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is my medium.
So, yeah, that's your medium. And so let's highlight the fact that on the medium that the getting started is very wide. Get more libraries is sort of, you know, the Goldilocks just right. And the web hosting is the very, very
pretty
tiny.
Small.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now go ahead. And now all of that's been reversed because now it's detecting, hey, this is a small size. So
right.
you've got small, small, and then the one big one. So
right.
you've completely redone it based on all of that.
Right. So this is 2, 2,
get out of the debugging real quick. Yeah, there you
Control
go.
F-I.
So that way we can go back to Visual Studio real quick. I'm
yep.
just going to tell you what to do here. and then scroll up just a little bit.
And yep.
One more. There we go. And so now we can see all three, that you can see the first div, the second div, and the third div all on
yep.
one screen. So
yep.
there's the 6 and 2, the 4 and 2, and then the, yep, perfect.
The 8. So now if I look at this, this was 642, now it's 228. And when I go smaller, then I'm now on extra small device width. And I haven't specified that, so it just stacks
okay.
on top of each other.
Okay, yep.
Great. So that's what it's about. If we go to getbootstrap.com, which is the site, getbootstrap, that's going to have all my documentation. So if I look at the CSS and I look at the grid system, there's a lot more information on here. It talks about, you know, here's how that stuff lays out. It talks about fluid containers and wrapping things. Lots of different examples here. The nice thing is, you know, you generally can sort of, like I was just showing there, you can kind of play with it. The
mm-hmm.
important thing is that you are, by differentiating on these, I'll pick on this example here. Here, you just literally are just kind of filling in the numbers. You're saying, okay,
right.
for a medium device or above, use 8 columns. For a small device, use 6 columns. For an extra small, use 12. And you just are totaling up, you know, your columns so that they...
Just always up to 12.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's really it. I think that, you know, I've seen, I don't know, people get a little wrapped around this, you know, how exactly do I do this? And it really is just kind of like... add up to 12 on your different device sizes. Anything you leave blank, they're going to stack, and it's really not too hard.
Yep.
So that is the grid system. Okay, components. Components are a lot of fun. and those are the things that make your site go from, you know, ugly HTML to looking pretty professional. So I just went and grabbed a bunch of different components off of the Bootstrap site. And here we'll see some examples. Buttons, so these are your buttons here.
Yep.
Very common
danger,
thing.
Danger, I love that one.
Yeah, yep.
Danger, Will Robinson.
And these things are just so common, you do them all the time. I need buttons that indicate different things.
Yep.
These are just drop some classes on my buttons. How about pagination? This is something I've done all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to use WebForms controls to do this because they would show the pagination, and it was a pain in the neck to do it otherwise. This handles it for me.
Yep.
There are some kind of rich, like media controls that you can nest things. So the point of this next one here is that you're actually able to nest. Here I've got a thumbnail. This is inside of a panel, I think. We've got some buttons down below it, and we've got a list of all these. And this actually, the HTML for this is pretty lightweight. There's not that much there.
Yep.
We've got collapsible groups here. We have things like tabs, tooltips, different alerts.
So really kind of going back to what we were talking about before, you know, web forms, of course, gives us all those cool little controls. We don't have controls in MVC. This is really where we're going to get that.
These are your controls, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
And for interactivity, a lot of the time you'll end up using JavaScript and, you know, communicating back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But your display, in order to make things look good and you know, handle that on the front end, the Bootstrap is really what that is.
Yep.
One other really cool thing, and this is just so simple, but it's really nice, is these glyph icons. And just by adding a few simple classes, you can get these icons. You can put them on buttons, you can put them wherever. And what's nice is that these are actually, they're implemented using fonts.
Right.
And what that means is they scale. So you could actually, if you wanted the world's largest envelope, you could set this at a giant font size and it's going to look great, right?
Right.
I only grabbed a few of these. There's actually, you know, two or three times as many. And these are, again, on that Get Bootstrap site. Very easy to implement on your site. So let's just play with a few of those. I wanted to show, first of all, I want to show the...
And one little thing while you're bringing up Visual Studio
is,
you know, a couple of people have mentioned things like, you know, the ability to do offset, things like the inheritance. So if maybe you haven't mentioned extra small, then it will inherit from above. And all of that is fantastic information. I'm loving all the information in the chat window. I'm again going to mention, you know, check out James's blog, check out Get Bootstrap. That unfortunately, you know, we only have 50 minutes, and right now it's about 18 minutes to kind of cover all of this. So we really are kind of trying to hit some of the big items, kind of introduce concepts. But all of you are absolutely right that there's so much more to Bootstrap. And once you kind of get in and start playing around, you're going to be amazed at the power. And once you sort of get past that initial curve, that initial learning curve, I think even at the simplicity of Bootstrap and being able to swap things out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so let's take a look at, first of all, pagination. I just want to show that real quick. So the idea, and I just went and grabbed this off of the Bootstrap site. And I could remember, here I'm putting in a bunch of list items, and I could do something like ul.pagination, and then throw in li. And then I forget what the thing is. I think I hit like that, and I hit dollar sign. And let's see if that works. Now, I forget what the thing is. Replacement variable. Maybe someone will know in the chat. But I say, you know, a whatever. Actually, if I just do something like, I'm going to paste it in because I'm being lazy and we're in a hurry. There we go. Okay, so there's that. And so the idea is this is going to show, you know, pagination links. This is the kind of thing that you, and again, this is all respecting the theme.
Right. And so all that you did there to get that to show up was just add in the appropriate class of pagination.
Exactly. And that falls through, there's nothing special about these list items. This is just class pagination.
And one of the things that I'm also noticing that all you did was you just simply went in and just simply said the UL added in the class li times 5, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it also automatically, because it picked up the pagination, threw in the couple little to the beginning and to the end.
Yeah. So I think if I do li and that, and if I'd done instead times 5.
Times 5.
I'm going to do times 10 because, you know,
oh,
kick it up, right? And then this. Now, the only thing is here, those don't have, those items won't show because they need something in it.
Yep.
And I'm forgetting the replacement variable. But so that's that. Buttons are very, very common. And there's actually a few buttons already being displayed here. This learn more, et cetera, right? So how did that button work? So if we look at this, you can see, first of all, we've got this Jumbotron at the top. Jumbotron is what you'll use for this kind of big thing at the top of a page, right? That's my Jumbotron. And then in here, I've got a button, and it's button primary, and it's button large. So let's break those things apart. First of all, you need to put button on any button, which sounds
obvious.
I'm sorry
you lost me.
Right, right. But, you know, that is actually something I've gotten wrong before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll use one of these button classes, and then I'll think, why isn't it working? And the problem is you can't just put button primary and think it's going to work. So for instance here, if I say, you know, button primary, okay, that would map to this one here. sounds great, but if I don't also put that button class on there, out of luck, right?
Right.
So these are those different button classes I could use. So if I want to, you know, add in a new one, I could go in, I could add in another button. So I'll say, you know, down here, you know, and notice here, this is an anchor tag that we put a button on, right? So, you know, I could say a dot button dot button warning. And I'll link to pound and I'll say warning. Let's see how that works. Right, so this is a warning button. So again, the idea is this is all, you know, flowing across really well. It all is respecting my theme. So normally, you know, warning is gonna be this orange, and actually that still matches here. But my learn more is a button primary, which normally would be blue, but because my theme has this kind of orange thing, now it's respecting that. So that's pretty cool. I think, what else did I wanna show? Definitely wanna show glyph icons. I wanna show alerts, because alerts are really handy. And I've actually, I made use of this recently on my blog. So I made an, I used an alert on this post where I was talking about something, and I actually posted about a PowerShell script that would run through and modify all solutions in, it's a recursive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great, but I don't want people to just do this in accident and then say, oh no, I destroyed my hard drive. And so I wanted to put in a little warning. And so I did that using this right here. And so all I did for that is I say, alert, alert warning. So there's nice. There's two things involved in that, and that's it. Then I'm done, right?
So basically you're identifying the type and then the specific
exactly.
type that you want. Okay. Yeah. So the general high-level type and then the low-level type.
And that's the way that they've set all these.
Okay.
They okay. always set up, you know, exactly as you said. First you do the high-level type. You say, this is an alert, this is a warning, this is a button.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in and you say the specifics.
Right. About okay.
It, right? So, and these are great. And there's also support for dismissible alerts. So I can go in and say, I would like an alert, but I don't, you know, if somebody says, okay, that's fine, click on it, and then it goes away.
Right. Okay.
Right. So that's that. I also wanted to show, let me see, tooltip, glyph icons. So glyph icons are like, as I said, they're pretty fun. I've gone through and I've used this on some things where I was doing like a buy button.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did the next version of the MVC Music Store. I just put the buy button and a cart up in the header, right? So let's look at how you would do that. So if I look down here, I forget, shopping, right? So there's my shopping cart. So there's my class. And again, just so I'm copying that class name, but that's not enough by itself. You have to do class glyph icon and then the specific.
So again, that sort of general and specific. Okay.
Right, right. So let's go in and let's add that in. So I'm going to, inside this button, it's going to now be a please buy something.
Buy right. now, pay later.
Right, exactly. So let's see, I think, and I'm kind of winging this one a bit, but I'm sure it's gonna work. glyph icon. Right?
Yep.
And then I'm tabbing that out, oops. And I think because I've got that inside the other, it's maybe not so happy with it, so I'm gonna put it here. It's because I didn't have a dot. Okay, so now we'll go here and hit that. Okay, so there's my span, and I say, you know.
You've got glyph icon twice there, by the way.
Because I really mean it.
Yeah, it's glyph icon.
Any questions? Okay, so here's my cart, and it actually ended up kind of way down here because I'm just throwing stuff around.
Right, yep.
Right. But, you know, I could also put that, and I'm pretty sure this, I'm like 17% sure this is gonna work. If I put this inside my button, right? And so let's do that, and do that. So this is nice, I'm able
Perfect.
To, you know, put a button inside
yep.
something, right? So, you know, really easy to start kind of, and let's say I just, you know, really, really want people to buy stuff from my store. You know, I could even do something like that, right? So the reason I'm doing this is to show that it scales well, right? So I put the shopping cart up in the header. It's going to, it actually does, these glyph icons are not just images, they're font files.
Right, yep.
All right, so we are cooking. Those are just some of them. There are tons more if you look at the components on getbootstrap.com. So it makes it really easy to, you know, take your HTML and make it look good, put it together in different ways. There's panels, there's things to organize things, there's collapsibles, mm-hmm. a lot of these different things. Okay, so Bootstrap is cool, requires you to write some HTML and understand the CSS and work together with them. There's a few things that can go wrong there. We mentioned before that...
there's always something that could go wrong.
Yes, there is potential for error. So a few of the different things that can go wrong, one is you mistype one of the class names. If you do that, it just doesn't work.
Right.
And so, you know, like, if you make a code error with C# or even JavaScript, you know, you're going to get an error. You probably will get an error message. When you get something wrong with CSS, mm-hmm. it just doesn't work, right?
Right.
And then you go, I don't know. And so it's a little frustrating trying to figure out what didn't work and why. And so this is really nice with the IntelliSense that it's actually going to, as I start typing things, it's going to indicate what exactly I've got.
Right.
What are my options? And the other option, the other thing you can get wrong is you can put in the right class, but you have these class dependencies. So button primary requires that I also specify class button.
Right.
If I don't put that in, again, it just doesn't work. What went wrong? I don't know, right? So here, Visual Studio actually has tons of intelligence going on behind the scenes, figuring out things like that for you. And I think that's my last demo, so let's take a look at that. So if I go in and I just delete button warning, actually, that works. That's fine. If I do instead button dash. So first of all, let's notice this. If I say button dash, these are all my different things that I can put in. There's button groups, which we didn't look at, but those are also nice. Let's get a little more positive and move off of the warnings to the success, right?
There we go.
So there's button success, but I still have some trouble.
And the green squigglies.
Green squigglies, right?
Yep.
So that, you know, that's really the, you know, a lot of what it's going to do for me. It's just mm-hmm. going to help me identify these issues, going to point it out, and then I can go in and I can say, oops, I can say, okay, fine, I'll put in button. And now, zoom out. And now we've gone to success. We have a successful store now. So
excellent.
So those really, you know, some of the high-level things that Bootstrap's mm-hmm. providing for me.
Yep.
We looked. Let's review real quick. And
while you're bringing that up,
yeah.
One quick thing. And somebody had mentioned in the chat AngularJS.
Yes.
And it's worth highlighting that Visual Studio has a lot of great functionality for fill in the blank, essentially,
yeah.
for the major library. So if you are going to be looking for AngularJS, if you're going to be looking for, I can't think of the name of the other library.
Well, I mean, AngularJS, Knockout,
that was the one that I was looking for. But yeah, for a lot of those major libraries, that Visual Studio now has a lot of great built-in tools, in particular for things like the classes and the other HTML parts to all of that.
Yeah. Let me point that out, since we're doing okay on time here, is that some of these things, you mentioned some of those front-end libraries. There's also support for things like CoffeeScript, Less, and TypeScript, which are, you know, things that are helping you to build your front-end stuff. So Web Essentials kind of taking it beyond that kind of basic IntelliSense that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of support for things in JavaScript. Source maps are really good because you get something like Angular. A lot of the time you're using the minified,
yep.
The minified JavaScript source, and this is actually helping to take you to the actual line of code and give you something that makes sense. I have to pimp one other thing, which is this talk that I gave at Build 2014. So this is, if you're in, we don't have time to talk about AngularJS, but at Build 2014, I gave a talk with David Katui, and we did kind of a, he taught me, you know, AngularJS. So I was building the back end code. I was building using Web API.
Mm-hmm.
and again, since we've got a little time, I'll kind of ramble a tiny bit. But people have been asking, how do I do JavaScript? How do I do Ajax? How do I do, you know, provide data to things for Ajax calls?
Right, yeah.
So what I was doing was using a web API, ASP.NET web API, and you can find that on the ASP.NET side if you go to web-API. So ASP.NET web-API, and that has all kinds of information. What web API is built for is returning pretty much everything other than HTML. So if you're returning XML, JavaScript, binary data, whatever, web API is great for building those HTTP services. So in this talk, I was building the back-end services using web API, and then David Katui was building out the front-end using using AngularJS.
Okay.
At the very end, we actually played with SignalR, which is another real-time thing, way beyond the scope of what we're talking about today.
I love SignalR, though.
Any other great questions that came up during
that? That was the bulk of the ones that I saw on there.
Great. Okay, so kind of to wrap up, you know, Bootstrap, great front-end framework. Mm-hmm. Use it because it's going to help you write good CSS. It's going to make your applications look good.
And actually, you know what? I am going to highlight one real quick thing, because mm-hmm. somebody did mention, and it is sort of true, that when it comes to Bootstrap, Bootstrap is sort of a boon and a bane. That the nice mm-hmm. part is that it makes an awful lot very easy. But the one little downside to Bootstrap, and I mentioned this at the very beginning, and somebody in the chat kind of brought it up towards the end here, yeah. is if you go
Let
to
me
a
guess,
site...
Every site looks the same?
Bingo.
Yes.
Yeah. Hold all calls, we have a winner.
Yeah.
And fortunately, one big thing to keep in mind with Bootstrap is that you can still use the classes, you can still depend on the classes, and still rework everything. And if you head on out to the interwebs, you will find all sorts of different sites out there that are more than happy, either for free or for some form of a cost, more than happy to sell you different templates. And there's a lot of templates out there that look nothing like Bootstrap.
It's
so
true.
Yes, Bootstrap does give you that initial setup, and yes, a lot of sites do, fortunately or unfortunately, look similar because of that, but you can still use all of those classes, you can still use the functionality, but completely redefine everything.
Yep. Yeah, I wanted to show off just on my side, if we can go, this is my blog, and I just want to point out, this is using Bootstrap. You will notice, you know, it's got the hamburger menus when we shrink way down. For the most part, it doesn't scream Bootstrap at you. And I actually used I used a United theme, and then this, the color on the background is Rebecca Purple. So it's just kind of a, you know,
Rebecca Purple.
It is.
As opposed to like Heather Purple.
Well, it's actually a brand new CSS color that's been added in.
Okay.
But you know, this was a chance to just kind of go through and re-theme things. And so I was able to take advantage of Bootstrap themes or classes where I wanted without, you know, saying this site is Bootstrap, you know. So you know, that's really kind of it. And then we looked at some of the different features available and we looked at Visual Studio support.
Yep.
So that's it for our time with Bootstrap. Again, if you're interested in a lot more Bootstrap, check out James Chambers' blog post, series, 30 Days.
Yep.
And we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and look at authentication with ASP.NET MVC.
Sounds great. We'll see you then.